Okay, so first, just a small comment on the last sugya, and then we'll just do one sugya on the Mishnah. So we'd seen last week that the latter half of the Gemara in Chaf Hei Amud Beis discusses all different types of things that you can't do, either because of zilusa of Yom Tov or possible carrying problems. But the presumably derabbanan problems, because at the end the Gemara had discussed this these different cases of carrying people on shoulders. On chairs, and the Gemara spoke about different ones, which were more or less in the spirit of Shabbos. And the Gemara said that, you know, there are certain cases where it's usur because of the spirit of Shabbos, unless rabim tzrichim lo, right? If the community needs the person, so then we waive these rabbinic prohibitions. We allow you to carry this person on the on, you know, the chair on the shoulders. So we just put it 17, 18, 19. What is the definition of rabim in this? This is last week's, just quickly to mention it. Right, the Torah paskins this way. Right, if a person can't get in without being carried this way on the shoulders, so then you can carry him in on Shabbos or Yontif. Now the Beis Yosef notes that the Torah seems to be more machmir in the Gemara. The Gemara just says if the community needs him, you're allowed to carry him in on a chair. The tour seems to limit it to only cases where the only way that that person could get in is if he's carried on the chair. And basically, there's a note as far as the tour, I mean, the logic is pretty sound. Meaning, if we waive the prohibition of carrying the person on this you know, palanquin or whatever it is, because it's necessary for the community. So the tour's argument is, well, that's only if it's necessary for the community, which means not only that this person is needed by the community, but that he has no way of getting there except by being carried on this chair. Where the Torah said, look, if it's far and he's elderly and he can't make it there, so he's allowed to be carried on this chair if he needs it. But the Ran, you know, it seems to be more lenient. And the Ran says it's not true. If the community needs him, so, you know, people who, you know, there's an elderly person, he can do the walk, but the community needs him, and, you know, the way that you didn't get someone shoved, right? You didn't have like a, you know, you didn't have a, you know, disabled parking spot and, you know, special ramps and whatever. Like, you know, everyone got shoved in. And if, you know, if you let him go in normally, even if he could do it, he's going to be pushed around. So we'd say, look, once the community needs him, we waive the prohibition. Even the person could technically walk, we allow him to be carried in on this chair.
Even if you're carrying
him in the chair. No, not Rishis. Well, probably not, right? That was something we dealt with last week, that probably we're dealing with Rishus HaYachid. The Bach thinks that it's even Rishus HaRabim, and he argues that it's only a Derabbanan anyways, because Chai no se etz asmo, that if someone could walk by himself, could carry himself, so then it's only Derabbanan to carry him. But most of the Poskim argue on that. The Marashdam in 19 says, Od cause of Shamashadir Kise Ari Bitamal Chacham Dasma Rashi Zal. What type of need is this? So the Marashdam had someone who wrote to him that it's not any need. It's only a Talmud Chacham, right? Specifically a Talmud Chacham was needed for Shir. Rasulam Shigamatosis Kachkavanasam Blinir Shigam Lachor and Yerakan Vipashadan Shildibe Rash because of Talmud Chacham. Mikomokam Lav Dafka, the Kolshud, Sarak Rabim Havik Talmud Chacham. But the Marashdam himself says just because the example is Talmud Chacham doesn't mean that it has to be Talmud Chacham. If the community needs someone for some other reason, that should be enough. Okay, that was just the last Ha'ara on that. So now I emailed Abby today. He asked me what we were up to. I told him, technically, we're starting a new Mishnah, but I really want to leave him the Mishnah so that he can start fresh. So we're doing a topic that comes up in the next Mishnah, because I didn't want to like find points to belabor for no reason. But it is not the main topic of the Mishnah, which he will deal with. But we'll start the Mishnah anyways. It's the last line of Chaf Hei Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, "Bechor shenafa labor, Rabbi Yehuda Omer yered mumchev v'yireh." Rabbi Yehuda says, so the halacha is that a bechor belongs to the Kohen. And if it gets a mum, so then the Kohen can use it with certain limitations, but anywhere, right? Not, you know, not limited as kadshim. I mean, therefore, now if it was before Yanta, if it was, it had no mum, so then outside, you know, then the Kohen has no use for it, you know, wherever he lives. No. But what happens if you get it falls into a pit? So now it may have gotten a mum. If it got a mum, so then the Kohen can shecht it and eat it even outside, right? Without treating it as kadosh, without bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore he could use it on Yom Tov. But the problem was he didn't know before Yom Tov that this was going to happen. Yehuda says, look, as long as you know, you can send a expert down there, he can look and see if there's a mum. If there's a mum, then the Bechor no longer has to be treated as Kadshim, so he can just shecht it and he can eat it. If not, you obviously you can't, because you don't know whether it's permitted. Reb Shimon Omer, Kol Shein Mumo Nikar Mi Ba'od Yom, Ein Zeh Min HaMuchan. Reb Shimon weighs in and says it's not true, because there was no mum before Yantif, so the Kohen assumed that he wouldn't be allowed to shecht this animal on Yom Tov, and therefore it's mukta, right? It's mukta. That's the simplest way of reading Reb Shimon. It's Ein Min HaMuchan. And that's the Mishnah. So what I want to focus on is one aspect of this. What is the potential problem here of being Roeh Bechor on Yom Tov? Right? Why would you say that you can't look at a Bechor and see whether it has a mum? Reb Yehuda says you can, but why does Reb Shimon disagree? So there are several possibilities. One possibility could have been mukta, right? Namely, if you didn't know that the animal had a mum before Yom Tov, and then it gets a mum on Yom Tov, so you can't just send someone to Paskin that it has a mum and therefore allow you to eat it. You didn't know you were going to be allowed to eat it before Yom Tov, and therefore now it's mukta, and there's no solving this. Logically, that seems to be the smoothest read of the Mishnah, but there's a fundamental problem with that, which is what Rashi notes in number one here, or in the Gemara, which is that Reb Shimon himself is the person throughout Shas who doesn't believe in mukta. Right? Reb Shimon less like mukta. Reb Shimon doesn't hold of mukta. Now, he does hold of some muktas, which is part of the complexity here, but Rashi argues that since Reb Shimon doesn't hold a mukta, even though it sounds like the problem here is not a problem of paskening, that there's a mum. The problem is that if you didn't know there was a mum in the animal, and you didn't know you'd be allowed to use it, so then you'd already stop thinking about it, you know, you pushed it aside, and therefore it's mukta. Even though that's the simplest reader, Rashi doesn't like it, and he says, Ein zeh min hamuchan, la misha mukta asrlei, it can't be mukta. Dales lei mukta, because Reb Shimon is the person throughout Shas who doesn't believe in mukta. So Rashi introduces two different reasons. One is that it might be a problem of mitakein. That in general, we've seen this a few times. We saw this when we did the sugya of tevila on Yom Tov. This was a while ago, a very long time ago. Yeah, how many? Yeah. It was a while ago, meaning it's Yud Zayin and Yud Ches, so that was a while ago. Must have been our first year. Right, one of the malachot on Shabbos is boneh, and makav patish, right, is another malacha, right, building and fixing and completing. And therefore, there are several rabbinic prohibitions that are related to building, that look like building, and one of them is nirakim mitakin, right? There are many things we don't allow on Shabbos or Yom Tov because they look like you're fixing. So Rashi says, well, you know, one of them was tevila, right? That you aren't allowed to use a kli before if it's not, hasn't been put in the mikvah. So by putting in the mikvah, you fix it halachically. So it's sort of like makav patish or boneh or something like that. And therefore, it's asur on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Rashi says, well, maybe that's what psak is for the Bechor as well. Before you paskin that there is a mum, the Kohen isn't allowed to use it unless he treats it as kadshim. But he can't just eat it you know, at his house. Now the expert comes and says it has a mum. You're allowed to shecht it. So he has now fixed it. He's made it edible. So that's possibility one that Rashi raises. The second one he says is the habit like you done din. Alternatively, it could be like a court case. It's like a court case. The gazer be mishum shvus, and in general, we don't have court cases on Shabbos because it's one of the shvus. It's gzer shem yichdov for everything else, right? You might write. So what he said. So what do the words mean? Eino minam muchan. Normally, muchan means mukta. So no, it means that you can't eat it. Right? It's not edible because we don't count the psak. Right? The psak just doesn't count because.
You have another sheet.
Yeah.
This is so different from tefillah. And here you just. You're not changing the status. You're just determining what the status is.
Correct. And that's why we'll see that some people are going to not like this at all. But you're right. Right. The problem here is that, and this is what the Poskim will raise, is that Rashi, the second one I understand, right? Rashi says it's sort of like judging. I mean, you can argue, why is this like judging other things? But okay. The first one's a bit weird, right? Why is this like fixing? Because you would think that psak on a bechor isn't creative. It clarifies. It doesn't create a status. It clarifies. But that might not be true, right? And that's what I'm going to get at, right? That might not be true, right? That I think what Rashi is getting at is that he doesn't think that's true, at least in Bechor. I mean, as we're going to see, the big machlokas in the Achronim is going to be, let's just say you accept Rashi. Does that mean, how far does that extend? Is this unique to Bechor? For whatever reason, right? Maybe Bechor, the psak is part of the process of making it mutter. But what about a regular psak? Can you not paskin on a Shabbos or Yom Tov? Is all psak creative in that sense? So it's that you aren't allowed to paskin on Shabbos. Is that actually how we hold it? We'll see. The Taz actually believes that, right? The Taz believes that because he asks your question, essentially, right? He says, well, what does this mean? Right? How could it be usher to paskin? How could that be mitakin? Well, he says it must be psak is creative, and if it's creative by Bechor, and we call it Metakein, then why isn't all Psak creative? And what I'm going to try to do, and that's my end goal here, right? As I said, I don't want to get into the heart of the sugyas here. I'm going to leave that for Abby. I want to get into this local question, right? Which is, what is Psak? Why not? So this is like my hobby in life, so why not?
Isn't the problem, if you say there can be no Psak, and the question is whether or not you're violating Shabbos or Yom Tov, there's a big...
Well, so in general, we waive certain things, right, for... right.
And if you take it to its ultimate, you've got...
Correct, and the question is, right, it's obviously not going to be all Psak.
Can you pocket it for yourself?
But differentiate between Psak. That's a monetary here. That's kashrut or...
So that is what he definitely says in the second one. When he says, this is unique because it's done as I did. Right. What everyone wants to know is, okay, if you think it's a court case, yeah, that's what he's saying. This is monetary, right? And that's different. You shouldn't hold court, right, for monetary cases. That makes sense. But his first one, Mirka Metakein, that doesn't, right? If you say that this is different because it's like a court case, fine. But if you say it's about Metakein, right? So what about a rabbi, you know, someone comes to a rabbi and says, as they do all the time, right, I drop my dairy spoon in my fleishik, whatever, right? And that clearly means I have to throw everything out. And the answer is almost always no, it doesn't. You probably, right, probably didn't do anything. But whatever, right? Unless there's an onion, in which case it did trafe it up and you don't think we'll do about it. Right? Whatever. But is that, right? Is that going to be, right? Is that metaking? Yeah.
No, I'm finding it difficult to distinguish between a monetary case and saying that something...
Right, so if you think it's a problem of done din, that it's like a court case, so then it makes sense, right? Monetary cases, right? You know, you say this looks more like a court case, right? It looks like a, you know, as opposed to like a ritual law, right? Ritual law, okay, it doesn't look like a court case or some distinction like that. But you're right, if it's near a mitakein, right, you fixed it, so then you would have said, well, you know, that's true of anything, any kashrus shaila. Now, the first thing that I want to know is, okay, well, why does Rashi himself have two answers, right? I mean, so one, now the easiest answer is just like, well, Rashi wasn't sure, right? He threw out two possibilities, or, you know. But the Beit Sha'arim, in number two, thinks that no, Rashi was totally sure. He just meant that the two answers apply in different circumstances. So he writes in two. Oh, the Rashi kazu shtei tamim. Aleph mishum de nirikim esakein. Ushnaim mishum de avikidon ezadin. V'imkein yish lomar. The bizmana bayis lo shach b'emes atam de nirikim etakein. Kein nimi avichazi lakrava rak lehedyot. Have a kilkel yoser al tikuno. He said, look, if the Beis HaMikdash exists, so then you can't say it's mitakein. You know why? Because if it is, it doesn't have a mum, so then the Kohen will bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. If it has a mum, so we'll eat it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Big deal. That's mitakein. He made his life a little bit easier, right? He doesn't have to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Fine, so what? But Rak Bizman Hazeh, the Chol Zeh Shehu Tam in a Roy L'Shum Davar Mechzei Kemesakin, he said, Rashi is very careful. You know why it's Metake? Not because he said it has a mum. It's a bigger reason. Because when there's no Beis HaMikdash, the alternatives aren't eat it as a carbon or eat it not as a carbon. The alternative is use it versus not use it. Because if it has a mum, so then you're allowed to eat it. If it doesn't get a mum, there's nothing you can do with it for it because it's a carbon and there's no Beis HaMikdash. You can't do anything. So the Beis Sharim says, you know what Rashi says is mitakein? That's only when there's no Beis HaMikdash. V'lachein cause of Rashi shnei damim. Tam nevzakein shayach bizman hazeh v'lo bizman habayis. But he said, but that doesn't work when there's a Beis HaMikdash because it's not called fixing something when you just make someone's life easier. I understand. Mutter to usher. That's a change in status.
But is this a type of option? In other words, what is our case? Is our case that the behema fell into a boar, and then you can't take it out of the boar? You're sending an expert down to see if it has a moon, and the shlith is actually going to be done in the boar.
I mean, no, Yalavi Ishchot. Yalavi Ishchot. This one is Yalavi Ishchot. You're going to bring it out. You're going to take, if it has a moon, you're going to take it out. You're going to take it out. So he says, he said, why did he need two? Because he said, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, then this is really, really usur, because you're fixing it. Without it, you know, it's unusable. Without saying there's a mum, it's unusable. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that won't cut it. Because the fact is that it's not fixed. He could have eaten in the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon, or now he can eat it not as a carbon, but either way, he could eat it. So he said, therefore, he needed the added reason of Danas Adin. Mashka the Rashi Bechor Bizman Azen and Ishka Bula Mum Mukadeh Letarek Lamakazma Mishnah Hilch Sol of Ashicha. And then he just adds, why does Rashi tell you that nowadays, you know, you can't eat a Bechor if it doesn't get a Mum? Because Rashi had a different problem, which is why would the Mishnah be telling us a halacha that only applies in the time of the Beis HaMikdash? In general, and this is a complicated circuit. Sometimes we do learn halachos, the Beis HaMikdash, sometimes we don't. When we do, and when we say, no, leave it till Mashiach comes, is very complicated. Rechar Lap tried to deal with this in the first art, like journal of the Kol Tzvi. But in the end, he says, he just wanted to remind you that this is practical halacha. Okay. But Rashi raises these two possibilities, right? The reason, either the reason that you can't paskin on the permissibility of Bechor is because it's like a court case. The other one is because it's like you fix it. The Rambam in number three takes a different approach, and he says, "V'chein behemas kadshim shenolad b'mum b'yom tov ho'ol v'lo ha'isa daito alav me'erav yom tov azo shachta b'yom tov." Rashi, he sounds like, right, in Gimel, this is not the Bechor case yet, right? An animal of Kodshim, the Gadamum, so he said, in that case, the reason you can't shechem Yom Tov sounds like because it's Mukta, right? Because you didn't have it in mind, right? The reason that the Rashi rejects, namely Mukta, the Rambam accepts, it seems, right? At least for Kodshim. He said, L'fich asr l'eros mumei Kodshim b'yom tov, gzera shema yatir ma'chacham b'mumon v'yavu lishchot bo b'yom. And therefore, since you're not allowed to eat it, presumably because of Mukta, so you can't have a posek permit it, because then you might end up eating it. Right? If you can't eat it, then we don't want to make it easier for you to eat. Aval ro'ez ha'mumei rav yom tov l'machar mater oser. Then halacha dalit, he says, b'chor shenolad umumo imo hareze Muchan. If a Bechor is born and it already has a mum, so then it's permitted. Mevakar noso b'yom tov. You can even look at it on Yom Tov. V'im avar v'ra amumo uvakro v'uvikru hiretiru arezah shochet v'ochel. And if an expert violated the halacha and checked it, so you're allowed to eat it. Bechor shenaf al bor. Now this is the Mishnah's case. If you have a bechor that falls into a pit, so you can give it food at the bottom, right? But you can't, because you can't bring it up. You can keep it alive. You can go down and give it food, but you can't. But you can't actually take it up.
Because it's some kind of a vera
Nechal Shabbos. Yeah, so
to bring it up.
Well, because it would be something like mukta, right? So therefore, we prevent you from paskening. Now, the Ravid, if you skip to the end of it, says, "V'lomayin rona selechatchila shemelo yemum kavua v'nimtzem metalto mashen roilo shi'ef shabelo tiltul o shemelo yidaktik v'rasam v'simchas yom tov." Now, the Ravid has two reasons why it's aser. The first one is interesting. The first one is not mukta; it's almost mukta. It's that it might be mukta. It's suffik mukta, right? The Ravid, the Rambam seems to say it's mukta, right? Though he's not totally clear. The Ravid says, no, it's not mukta. It's maybe mukta. Why is it maybe mukta? Because if it has a mum, it's not mukta. The problem is, it might not have a mum. And you're moving it while you're looking at it. But if it turns out it doesn't have a mum, then retroactively, it was not justified to move it because you can't do anything with it. Because it's a bechor. And this explains why Reb Shimon would hold that it's mukta. Because Reb Shimon holds in certain cases it's mukta. Why would he hold in this case it is mukta? So the Ravid seems to be trying to answer that, which is to say, look, you're right. If it turns out that the Bechor has a mum and you're allowed to eat it, so Reb Shimon doesn't hold of mukta. But it might still be a Bechor. And if it's still a Bechor, it's absolutely unusable. And even Reb Shimon agrees that there's mukta and something which is totally unusable. The fourth possibility, right, so you get the Rambam and Ravid have mukta or suffik mukta, right, Rashi has two possibilities, it's fixing or it's judgment, and then at the end, the Ravid adds a fourth possibility, which is, no, the reason we don't want you poskening about this animal is because we're worried that here you have a $2,000 animal, I don't know, right, it's Yom Tov, you're having a lot of guests over. If you paskin its mutter, everyone will enjoy this fresh meat. If you paskin its usser, you won't. But it's Yom Tov, right? You're not asking this in a vacuum. You're asking, it's already Yom Tov, the guests are already coming, right? So the Ravid says, you know why it's usser to paskin on the Bechor on Yom Tov? Because what's going to end up happening? You're going to rush through and say, yeah, it's fine. Because, you're a step ahead. You want to have meat for you. You know, you're just not thinking close. Not on purpose, right? Just like that's just the way it will happen. So you have four reasons as to why it is aser to paskin on the case of the Bechor, right? Mukta in its different variations, mukta or safek mukta, because you're fixing it, because you're judging, or because we're just worried you're not going to be careful because of Simchas Yom Tov. The Magen Mishnah in 4 says, Dash, yesh nosem tam acher, lasari is hamumen, yesh misham rishnei sheyavo litalta lefamim mashein aroi. He said, some people say the reason is because you might come to carry, to move it. Klomar shem yimtza she'ena mum, nimtza she'ena behema ru'uya, right? That's the first possibility in the Ravid. V'yevshar shalol yitel telena, right? It's a problem that it might turn out it was mukta. V'yesh mishakosa mishum demechzik and mesakin. And some, meaning Rashi, say that the problem is that you're fixing it. So those are the four reasons, or four and a half reasons, let's say, that are given by the Rishonim as to why you aren't allowed to see the Bechor, right? Either it's mukta, it might turn out it's mukta if it still is a Bechor, it's judging a case, it's misakein, or we're worried you're not going to be careful because of Simchas Yom Tov. Like I said, the question I want to focus on, sort of the little question here is, okay, whatever reason is the Bechor, does this spill over? Right, this never comes up. We don't have a Bechor. It's very rare we have Bechors, right? It happens every so often if you have animals, right? But usually, we don't. But what happens all the time...
We're talking about humans, right?
Yeah. But paskening happens all the time. So, a regular shayla, are you allowed to paskin on Yom Tov? Right? A regular kashra shayla. So if we go through the reasons. So, mitaken, right? Is it fixing? Well, maybe.
Maybe.
If it's done as adin, if it's a court case, probably not, right? That's probably limited to certain big types of shailas, right? Maybe monetary law, probably a regular run-of-the-mill kasher shaila, not a problem. If it's because of a problem of simchas yom tov, maybe, right? Could be, right? You know, is my cholent kasher or not? Maybe, right? Maybe we're worried, but maybe not, right? That may be unique to when you have, you know, an expensive animal that you can now use as opposed to, you know, your cholent pot. Look, this happens all the time, but maybe. If it's a mukta problem, probably not, right? Because the food was fine before, right? I mean, now your spoon fell in, right? You know, probably not. Maybe if it's basar b'chalav and now it becomes asur b'hana, right? Maybe, but probably not. So this is the question that the poskim wanted to figure out. The Truma Sedeshin says in 5. He says, "D'dafka gabi dimua shayech lomar kachi." So he assumes that this prohibition isn't only here. He's talking about a question in Truma. And he assumes that certain shaylas in Truma, this will be true as well, that you aren't allowed to pask in Truma shaylas. But just look at the end of that line. I don't want to get into the Truma case. But if you look at the last two words in the line, he says, "Aval b'shari surin vada lo shayech." But he said, by a regular run-of-the-mill prohibition, it's not a problem. Vinv kein asr l'sharo k'dei levad lo b'shabas. And then he says, if you look down to, let's go down to two lines from the bottom, and he says, I think it's mutter. Vahid arias b'chor yesh liyashiv kamosh beir rashi. Mechalik asim beim rumas mume b'chor reim riyas behem ashkuta. Livdok mitrefa desharei b'yomtem. And he said, look, we'll just distinguish and we'll say there's a difference between with b'chor and other kashra shaylas. Right? Kashra shaylas are fine. B'chor, there's something unique. Now, if you ask me what's the difference, I would come back to Tully's point. My intuitive reason is that the Trumas edition assumes is that if Rashi says the problem is that you're creating something, right? It's misakein. That's very weird, right? Meaning, what am I doing? How exactly am I creating anything in the regular run of the Melkashra Shaila? You asked me, the spoon fell into the cholent pot.
Do we have the chazaka issue where it was, again, where you were saying when something is a chazaka and you're changing it, you are creating something?
Right, so before, so let's, right, a regular Shaila, I would have said, look, it's probably it's just clarifying, right? You're not creating and you're clarifying. The spoon fell in. Is it fine? Is it not?
Chazaka was the other way with the Bechor.
Correct. Right? I would have said Bechor is different. Why is Bechor different? How could you say Bechor is creative? Well, I would say, look, either, like how we said, well, because it was a Bechor. It was a Bechor Kodesh. Right? This is not a clarification. This is not my spoon fell into my cholent, right? My dairy spoon fell into my cholent. Did enough taste go into it such that it's a problem or not? Right? This was, it was a Bechor. Like, that's what it was. There's a formal process here by which we remove its status of Bechor, right? It's not enough. It's not like an average person can read this in a summary halacha book. There's a process. An expert has to go. He has to formally see it. A kohen can't do it, right? Like, we have all types of rules connected. It's a very formal process.
So some of it has to do with the tircha, right? Or the process.
So could say it's a practical thing, right? You could say that it's right. You could say this in a formal way, right? That we're creating a status, right, the way Howie's saying. You could say in a practical way, which is this is a nirik mitakein problem, right? It looks like you're fixing it. Bechor is a whole to-do.
And it's unusual, right?
Yeah, it happens once in a while. You have to get an expert. He has to go down. He has to look, right? It's all... So when you say, there is a mum, it's like everyone's like, oh, right? You know, it feels, right? Even if on a formal level, there's no difference between saying it has a mum, it's not a mum. Or you would say, it looks like it does.
So right? There's a difference between some charlas, which like Bechor is unusual, right? Versus something which is usual, like for the person who's possibly
right, it could be, right, it could be, but I would go in the more direction of how we say the status issue. But you're right, it could be that it's a perception issue, right? That a big shaila. Now, it may only be certain types of perception issues, right? Like coming back to Alan's question, a Shabbos question you can answer because presumably it doesn't change a status, right? Meaning, can you do this, right? Kashrus and Bechor, we're not talking about can you do this. We're talking about an object, right? Have I fixed the object, right? I assume that this whole discussion only gets off the ground in shailas that are object-oriented, right? If they're person-oriented, you're not fixing anything, right? You're just saying you can do this, you can't do this, right? I mean, I guess certain shilas, you are giving a status to a person, right? Need their shilas, maybe, right? But like an average, can I do this, can I not do this, isn't fixing anything, it's just instructive, right? But certain ones are status-oriented. But the Truma Sedeshan assumes that this, whatever it is, whether it's a perception issue like Gerard, or it's a formal issue like Howie, Bechor is unique, right? That's where you're changing its status. But he said no one ever thought that it was usher when someone asked a run-of-the-mill kashrus shaila on Shabbos or Yontev that it's usher to answer. Like, who ever thought about this? The Taz discusses it in 6. And the Taz says, Tam isariyas mumim b'yomtav, kasa rambam, mishum ipneam mumim shenoldu b'yomtav, shen shochlan lein midin mukta. He said, the Rambam says the problem here is mukta. Sher lahayo daito alein merav yomtav. Because before Yom Tov, you weren't thinking about it, because it was a Bechor. Umim b'nekach asarav b'nol d'me merav Yom Tov, kol shel ra otam chacham mi be'erev. And therefore he says, right, the issue at hand isn't just when the mum happened, it's when did a chacham actually see it. A chacham has to see it before Yom Tov so that you know it's mutter. V'rag v'magit kasav, she'yesh mishen ozen tam, she'yavu l'talp l'famim, ha'she'en ro'i lo. The Magid Mishnah notes that according to the Ravid, the problem is that you might end up moving. If it turns out that it's not a mum, so then you can't use the animal. And then you'll end up, you're already moving it, right? You can't prevent that. You're already holding it, moving it around. And some people, ring Rashi, say the problem is that it looks like you're fixing. And then he says, right, the ikalemar ahatam ha rishon shalarava magid imkain you coloros asurim lachamiyomtov the shemi ye asur vitaltil beisur. He said, so maybe, right now I wouldn't have said this, but the Taz does say this, right? The Taz says, well, maybe if it's a mukta problem, then every shaila in the world should be asur, every kasher shaila should be asur. He said, nah, that's not true. That's not true. No one would say that, right? I didn't even think about it, right? It didn't even enter my mind. And the Taz raises it, but he rejects it. He says, mukta, you're right. The problem is mukta, it's not going to apply to kashas. Why? Halo kasha. The dafka gabe b'choram rinan kain. Shlohay l'cheskaz adar me'olam. What Howie said. Because the animal, the b'chor, was already usher. Everyone assumed it was usher. So if it's mukta, the animal was usher, but you're chulent. You assumed it was mutter. Then the dairy spoon fell in it. Now you wonder, is that a problem or not? But before Yom Tov, you had every intention of using your cholent, so why can't I solve your problem? Let you eat your cholent like you were planning on doing. He said, everywhere else, I assumed it was mutter. Okay, so he says, mukta, if it's mukta, your regular kasher shaila, where you had food that was permitted before Yom Tov, a problem happened on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you ask the rabbi, is it fine? He says, yes, it's fine. So, coming into Shabbos and Yom Tov, it was permitted. In the middle of Shabbos, a doubt occurred. You clarified with the rabbi, he said, no, there is no problem. You go back to your original assumption, there's no mukta. Bechor is unique because, as Howie said, it was usher before. You're trying to remove a status, but it was already usher. So he says, mukta, if the problem is mukta, you're allowed to paskin on Shabbos and Yom Tov.
That would mean that certain things that you could have asked for before Shabbos, you waited for Shabbos.
Correct, but possibly something that you or at least assumed was usher. Before, the Taz might think is usher. Right, any kasher shaila that happens on Shabbos, he would say it's fine on Yom Tov. But before, you're right. Right, according to the Taz, yeah. If you thought something was usher before Shabbos, then yes, it would be mukta according to the Rambam. V'nir l'chora de'lefamim yesh iser behora'a be'inyan shi'a asur mitchilaso, and that's his next line. It says, and therefore there are certain kasher shailas according to the Rambam that would be usher. Gon yetzeres aver shemar l'chacham. Right, any. Kasher shaila that I do require asking a chacham in esr olav. Elashenir de gamzena dom lechor. He said maybe not. The bechor esr mivurur kodem holad the samlam. He said you might have thought what Sam said, and then he said, but I don't think that's true either because there's a difference between something that actually was usher to something that you weren't sure. Right? He said the difference of bechor is that it was totally there's no question it was totally usher before yantif. Now it has a mum, And now you want to know if it became mutter. Every other shayla, and I don't know if this is actually true. You've probably come up with some shayla that's similar. But he said bechor is pretty unique in this case. Masha enkin bezesh me olam lo yeser bar ela safek la davar ze yesh lamed bechor bima yeser mevurar. And therefore he says, if it were a case where it was totally usher. So what's the case? Right, I forgot that. No, the Talmud does cover every case here. Right, he said, but there is a case. Right, most cases won't. But he said, I could create a parallel. Kigon shenafal iser lach beheter lach bepachos mishishem. I'll give you the case. Milk and meat got mixed before Shabbos or Yom Tov, less than 60. O yavish biyavish vein rov beheter, right, or less than rov when it comes to dry objects. The acharkach, and then what happened on Shabbos or Yom Tov? Nitosef heter v'nis batal iser. More permitted food got added into it. Meaning before Shabbos, it had 1/58 of iser, and therefore the whole thing was usser. And then after Shabbos, right? You didn't do it. You're not allowed to do this lechatchila, right? But the chulin pot is still sitting there, right? And you know, your potato kugel falls off the shelf in and gets mixed in to the chulent, and now there's 1/62, right, of milk. So now it's kosher, right? So he says, in that case, it would be bechor, right? It's parallel to bechor because it was usher, and therefore, when Shabbos or Yom Tov came in, you said, I can't eat this. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, it became permitted. He said, therefore, it would be usher. Davar ze usher lahar b'Yom Tov, duhum mamash ki bechor, v'asher l'chacham laharos. So he said, if it's mukta, I think that it is, he said, under most circumstances it would be asr, but, sorry, it'd be mutter, but there will be circumstances where, according to mukta, it would be asr to paskin. Because of Rashal, Bergenson, the Charlachal Leros of Achor of Lishtag, Tiro, Afil Gamer Belivo, Shumum, the Dvarm Shulavin, Dvarm, the Indian Easter Shabbos, and noted the Rashal says, that the only problem is to actually paskin on it. So the Taz says, if it's a mukta issue, you know what? There actually are going to be cases, specifically cases where something was actually usher before Yom Tov, that, and then becomes mutter on Yom Tov, that it will be mukta, just like before, and you won't be allowed to paskin. The Shulchan Aruch Rav in 7 says, V'chein bezman hazeh, shekol shochet bodek asakin ba'atzmo, asher lelivdok b'yom tov shema, yashchizena. Some people say you can't check a knife, a shechita knife on Yom Tov, because you might come to sharpen it. The Yeshom, Shalosh Laharas Asagam Lachacham, and some say you are allowed to look at a knife. To Shema Yechrizenel, Mishum Dimeim, Loyafshar Lalishchot Belo Riaz Chacham, Es Asakin, Afilim Asakin Yofva, Venimtsa Riaz Achacham Levad, Yemachsher Asakin. Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, but there were other people who said that you can't look at a knife to check whether it's mutter for shechita on Yom Tov. Why? Because you need to show the knife to a chacham. And therefore, at least when you used to show it to a chacham, it was metakin kli. So the Taz says you're not allowed to paskin on Yom Tov any iser which was definitely usser before Shabbos or Yom Tov and then became mutter because he paskins like the Rambam, right? That the problem in Psak is mukta. And mukta happens if something was actually usher before Shabbos or Yom Tov, and now you're trying to make it mutter. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav paskins like, quotes someone who paskins like Rashi, and says, no, the problem is mitaken. You're fixing something. And every Psak, or every object-oriented Psak, let's say, is a potential mitaken. Says nowadays, in the time of the Gemara, you weren't allowed a shecht unless you showed the knife to the chacham. That was a halacha, a formal halacha. Nowadays, it's not true. Nowadays, we only show the knife. I don't want to get into that. So yeah, but with, nowadays we only show the knife to the chacham if we have a doubt. So he says, "V'nim shechina devertali b'riya ela b'shlemos asakin shloisa peguma." He said, therefore, nowadays, checking the knife doesn't create any status. It's just clarification. Right? Seeing it doesn't make it a knife. It just clarifies, and therefore it's permitted. V'halacha kisvar rishona. The halacha is like the first one that is permitted. Sorry, like the first one that you shouldn't do it if you might, you know, sharpen it. But b'shazat chakon lobadak asakim b'rav yomtov v'nitzrach lobasar b'yomtov yishlo lismar alzvar achronam mutal livdok asakim b'yomtov. But if you need to, you're allowed to check. But if you're not going to have meat otherwise, you're allowed to do it. So what you have is the Taz says the reason you are allowed to paskin and bechor on Yom Tov is because of muktzah. When is something muktzah? So the Taz says only if something was usser, actually usser, before Shabbos or Yom Tov, and became mutter on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because then coming into Shabbos and Yom Tov, you had no intent to use it. The psak changes your reality. So he says if you can come up with a case that's like that in kashrus, you aren't allowed to paskin. The Shulchan Aruch Harav says maybe according to Rashi that it's mitaken, you also can't paskin. Why? Because certain types of shilas are creative. But then he backs off and he says he himself doesn't believe this. Why? Because he says psak isn't creative. Psak is. It just clarifies. Right? It's just adjudicating. It's just clarifying. It's just deciding. It's not creating a status. How could it be that you're fixing it?
Well, you brought it up before, so I was wondering, what about Anita? Isn't that a status question?
So you could have, right, that's what I'm saying. Maybe, according to these, you would say the same about Anita, right? No one does this. And we'll see, because no one paskins this way, right? This is the Taz and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. But the majority of poskim, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav himself, rejects this. Right? Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, what are you talking about? Right? Psak, the only time it's usher to paskin on Shabbos or Yom Tov is if it's creative, or you know, you have ancillary concerns, like you might sharpen the knife. But he said most psak isn't creative, most psak is just
clarification.
Why is clarification usher? Bechor is unique. Bechor is unique for what all the reasons we talked about, right? It's a big to-do, it changes its, you know, whatever. But a regular shaila, you ask someone who knows the halacha, he clarifies it, that's it. For that reason, the majority of poskim say it's mutter, right? So you look in the Mishnah Berurah 8, for example, he says, "Ein chacham yachal bein shumam b'yom tov bein shumam erev yom tov." Right? This is by Bechor. You can't have a chacham look at a mum on yom tov, whether it got a mum on yom tov or before. Mishum demechzik and mezakein, because it looks like you're fixing it. Dasher b'yom tov. Lo dami l'shar hara. But that's not like any other psak. She'ena iser v'heter tali ba'orah b'yamoreh. It'll be a diaz adavar. He said, an average psak isn't about creating status. It's about knowledge. Bechor, you're creating a status without re'iyat ha'chacham, without the chacham seeing it and saying, this is permitted, it is usher. So sure, that is creative. But your average psak is clarifying. He said, how do I know that Bechor is a creative psak and not a psak of clarification? It's very simple. By Bechor, even if it has a mum, if the chacham doesn't permit it, it's usur. Meaning, it's not a fact question. Is there a mum or not? You need there to be a mum and then a chacham to see it and rule on it. The fact that the simple presence of a mum is not enough to make it mutter, you actually need the chacham to say it is permitted, tells you that this isn't a clarification.
By a mitzvah also, that you don't...
Correct, there are other things. Correct, there are certain other psakim like that, like a mitzvah. You don't, right? Like sarad is exactly like that. Sarad for sure is like that. Right? Sarad, without a kohen looking at it, it is not sarad. Right? Sarad isn't a skin disease. It's a skin disease about which the kohen has paskined. Right? If the kohen doesn't paskin, it isn't yet sarah. The person isn't a mitzora. Right? It doesn't happen retroactively. It happens from when the kohen says it, and that's why, yes. If it's a chasan, we wait till afterwards, right? Because we control the status. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Bechor is one of those. Right? But a regular psak isn't creative. A regular psak is clarification. And then the Ber Halacha, he continues, and he says, right? And he said, first of all, I'm rejecting the position of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Right? That was what he did in the Mishnah Berurah. I don't believe that psak is creative, and therefore psak is not usur. Regular psak is not usur. And then he says, the Taz said it's usher a pasin because of mukta. Says, well, he said that's also wrong for several reasons. Nirad the lokas of gaila time of the magen mishmash tiltul mukta shlozarach nagaba. He said, first of all, I don't think the Taz even believes this. Because he said, I think that the Taz is just saying, theoretically, if you paskin like the Magen Mishnah, as the Rambam understood by the Magen Mishnah, then you could come up with a circumstance where regular psak is mukta. But he said, who said that the Taz agrees with the Rambam? The Taz just told you what he believes would be true according to the Magen Mishnah's interpretation of the Rambam. He never told you he paskins that way. So he said, first of all, I don't know if the Taz ever said it. Okay, I don't very hard to tell whether that's the case. But he says, that's what several of the Achronim said. Maimar Mordechai, the Graz, and the Vor B'divrei HaTaz, Mamukta Yesh, Bizner Zarev Behet there, Halo Al Kapanim, Ru'i Yilaklavim. He said, second of all, it's not Mukta. Because what's the worst that'll happen? It's most food, it's not kosher, so what are you going to do? So you'll throw it to the dogs. It's still dog food, it's not Mukta. Right? Not kosher food isn't Mukta, it's just not edible by humans. Basar B'chalav maybe. Right? Basar B'chalav maybe, because it's Asur to benefit. But a regular kosher shayla, not a basar b'chalav shayla, right? You know, a treifa question. Yeah. Right, he just says, right? He said, what do you... He said, fine, basar b'chalav, very specifically, you could come up with something, maybe. And he says, and besides, right?
Is he talking... I mean, if it has a moment, just any blemish, doesn't mean it's treif. Just means it's...
Oh, correct. By Bechor, it's not treif. It's just, it's not but not treif. It's not treif. It's what allows you to, is what invalidates it for the mizbeach, such that you're allowed to eat it outside. Yeah, no, it's not treif. It couldn't be treif, then you wouldn't be allowed to eat it, right? Imum, right, I should have clarified that. Imum on a Bechor is just anything that makes it not a karban, not to, makes it treif, that's worse.
Particular kind of mum.
Correct. And then he just goes on, right? He says that no one really likes this. And he said, other people say, even on a mukta level, right? And this comes back to Gerard's point. Several say, look, even on the mukta level, a bechor, it's a huge deal, right? There's like an animal, right? Like, when you're getting ready for yontif, you know how many animals you have, right? So if you have a bechor, you really put it aside. Like, you know, you're not relying on that bechor. Your chulin pot, like... You know, you are relying on it. Like, it's... The reason a Bechor might be Mukta is because before Yom Tov, you figure out how many animals do I have and what am I shechting? Like, you know, if you have a Bechor, it's totally off limits. But, like, we don't treat your pots, you know, of food that way, right? Like, you know, in the middle of Yom Tov, especially Yom Tov, right? You might decide, you know what, I need another pot. You know, if a chulin, you know, something falls into the chulin and makes a treif. So, you know, what are you going to do? You're not going to panic. I mean, you might panic a little bit, but what are you going to do? This happens at night. You have other food in the fridge. So what are you going to do? You're going to say, look, it's Yom Tov. I'll ask the rabbi the halacha when I get to shul. If he says it's kosher, I'll have it for lunch. If he says it's not kosher, I'll put up another chulin tonight, right? I still have, you know, 12, 14 hours, so I'm going to eat. It's Yom Tov, right? What's the big deal, right? Or I don't have the chulin, so I'll have something else. We'll survive. We have deli, whatever. We'll figure it out, right? So he says, even on a mukta level, Bechor is just so different because it's such a big case, right? Like, you've planned it before. If someone was Bechor, so you put it out of sight, out of mind, out of whatever. Your average pot, even if it might be not kosher, so like, you know, it's not like you panic and say, oh, I don't have my pot of chulind, right? You go to the rabbi, you ask, you figure it out, you'll find some other food. Like, you know, you're a bit more flexible with smaller level shilas. And therefore, he says, look, this really is, whether it's mukta, whether it's about creative psak, he says, average psak is not a problem on Shabbos and Yantif. It just isn't. It's not mukta. It's not creative. It's not anything. It's not danis adin, right? That's only monetary cases, and therefore it's permitted. And I think that's probably right, right? The consensus psak is that this is, you know, that psak, that this is mutter, right? That psak is mutter on Yantif and Shabbos. Bechor is unique. But the position that was quoted by the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, right, that no, psak is usur on Shabbos and Yantif because it is creative, right? Why? How is it creative? I understand Bechor, right? Like, it's usur, there's a formal process. But, you know, what Mishnah Berurah says, right, seems to be reasonable. The average psak isn't creative, it's just clarification. You ask the rabbi, is it kosher, is it not? That's it, right? How could someone say that an average run-of-the-mill shayla is creative? Right, such that it would be mitaking. So here, very briefly, I think it comes down to the following, which is, the Gemara says in 10 that Hanisha lechacham v'timei loyisha lechacham v'itaher. Lechacham v'asar loyisha lechacham v'yatir. Once you've asked a shayla to one posek, and the posek says asar, or it's tamei, another posek can't come along and say it is permitted. So why not? Right? Why is psak binding? Right? I've given this share before, but why is psak binding? Right? Why is it that once, or we won't focus on the nuances here, right? Because here it's actually not that you aren't allowed to ask another person, so the second posek can't weigh in on it.
So only if it's what? Tamer and asar to.
Right, and then, right, and does it go the other way, right? So, and does it go the other way?
Well, so it would be probably depend if you're talking about something that requires hechrayadas, or it's
like, right, so let's take an actual psak, something that needs hechrayadas, right? Why is it that once you've asked a shayla, that's something that needs to weigh in, right? Why is it that you can't ask somebody else? Why is that binding? So there are basically three shitas in Rishonim. Rashi says in 12, Mishum kvodo. It's a kavod issue, which is not right. Right? You ask Rai Karopkin, right? He gave you an answer. You don't go and ask, you know, whatever. You don't go and ask Rai Rolfman. You know, like, you just don't do that. That's not nice, right? You ask a shayla, that's it, right? Done. It's just not respectful for you to go, you know, once you've asked a shayla, you've asked a shayla. That's, you know, you don't, you're asking a shayla. You're not shopping around. You're asking a shayla. It's just not mechubad. That's Rashi. The Mukhe Yosef seems to say that it's more like neder. Namely, it's not a kavod issue. The problem is, when I ask a shayla, I am implicitly committing myself to listen to the answer. So once I've asked, I can't ask somebody else. Now, presumably, if it's a kavod issue, it should be bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. Right? If it's a kavod issue, it should go both ways. Meaning, once I've asked an answer, it's not respectful either way. It's not respectful that the posik said it's mutter, and now I go say, you know, you're not frum enough for me. I want to hear it's asr. And it's not respectful that he said it's asr, and I said, you know what, I can't handle the chumra. I want to find a kula. All right, both of those are just not respectful. If it's about neder, so it should only work in one direction. Namely, if the posik said it's asr, I can't go then and say, oh, I'm going to find someone who says mutter. I've committed myself to listening if you said it's asr. But if you said it's mutter, so I can be machmir, right? That's when Nebuka Yosef says, Kevin Sheshal Mimenu Tchila Gamra Beliba Lasko Sher Yorozo. Right? Since I asked you, I've committed. The Meiri goes farther. Right? The Meiri quotes the Ravid and says, the Meiri doesn't like himself. He argues in the Ravid. He quotes the Ravid as saying, it's so much a neder that even if the rabbi changes his mind, I can't. Right? He says, Afim Achazar Rishon Tzarech La'achmir. Right? Even if the rabbi changes his mind, right? I asked Rai Karopkin. He said it was usser, right? So I said, okay, it's usser. And then Rai Karopkin says, you know, I made a mistake. It's mutter. Too bad, right? You've already accepted to listen to his first answer. Now, Miri doesn't like this because he said, even if it's a ned there, right? I didn't accept the chumra. I accepted whatever Rai Karopkin told me. If he changes his mind, he changes his mind, right? I don't know. I'm asking him a question. It's not like I accepted his first words. I accepted his authority in general. But the Ritva, and I think this is the key, the Ritva has the most fascinating position, which is no, right? He says, the heavy odea, the chiyam rin holocha achar machmer, hainu ledidon, the chiyam the sveiko, naktin the sveiko the reis lechumra. He said, in general, we say, by a doubt of a deraisa, we tell you to go lechumra. Aval ledidhu gufayu, that's only if you don't know. But the posik, he said, a posek, there's a machlokes. One posek says it's asur, biblically. The other one says it's permitted. Each one can rely on their own position. And he said, and that which we say that not the rabbi, not the posek, but someone who asks him should always be machmir, he says, dafka ben acher, kayotze bezeshenech leku alav. So that's only in the future. When you ask a shayla, on the actual shayla you asked, not the, like in the future, this piece of meat, mutter asur, came into shkulimim, v'chiyadadi if l'guba, ein hara isur, chal bosa chaticha. So if you ask a shayla, and you get a psak that it's mutter, the meat is now not usser. It cannot become usser. And that's why Hillel and Beis Shammai can do whatever they want. Whenever you have two poskim or equivalent, and they argue on one shayla, lo chal iser bos chaticha. Rashai hamekel lahoros lachirim kula bos chaticha. For the person who permits it, it is an usser. And for anyone they paskin that it's not usser, it is an usser. Varot elismachol avilino kula bos chaticha sharav riba harishus piado. So it only works for the piece of meat you asked about, not the next piece of meat, even if it's the same shayla. Why? Because the Ritva is a position that psak creates a status. When I ask a shayla about a specific piece of meat, it creates a status. Whatever the posik said, assuming he's not making a mistake, right? Assuming this is something that could go either way. When you ask a shayla, the posik actually creates the status. If he says it's mutter, it is mutter. If he says it's aser, it's aser. Now, some achronim say that this only goes in one direction, right? L'chumra, right? You can only create a status of, right? Rav Shaul Yisraeli says this within the Ritva, right? That this notion that psak creates a status, I get it. You can create iser, but can you create heter? But Rav Henkin notes, well, yes, look at the Ritva. The Ritva says, that's exactly what the Ritva says. The Ritva says, psak creates reality. So much so, he says, it doesn't matter that in 10 minutes you have an identical shayla. So it doesn't matter. The psak now isn't binding on that. The psak is binding on just this piece of meat. Why? Isn't the shayla in 10 minutes identical to this shayla? He said, too bad. Psak creates a status in this, and the status therefore inheres only in the thing you asked the shayla about. You didn't ask a shayla about the piece of meat in 10 minutes. It's the same shayla. It doesn't matter. This shayla, right now, the posek created heter, or created iser. That's what psak is. And Rav Yisraeli notes, why does this make any sense? I didn't give it to you, but the Ritva elsewhere, the Ritva in Eruvin is the one who quotes in the Balei HaTosfot the notion that Elu Velu Divrei Elokim Chayim means that there are actually two possible truths in heaven. Right? So Rav Yisraeli says, well, if there's two possible truths, like God actually left it open, then what makes something true? Right? What makes something binding? Not that it's right, because both are right. What makes it right is that the rabbi said, it's usur or it's mutter. And therefore, I think that that position of Shulchan Aruch HaRav is following this sort of radical notion of the Ritva, that all psak is creative. Right, what psak is exactly that, is that there are multiple possibilities floating around. This meat is not kosher or not kosher. Right, that's not true of everything. But things which are in the middle, where there's a machlokas about, it's not just that there's a machlokas and one is right, we just don't know who. Right, according to the Ritva, no, they're actually both right. In heaven, they're both right. Psak is the process of creating Isser or Heter in a case of machlokas. And if that's the case, then it's possible that you could come up like with a position like this one on the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, namely that all psak, at least that inherent objects, should be usser because you're creating statuses, where you actually are metakin in a very real sense. You are instantiating some metaphysical reality into this object. Now that's a big kiddush in general.
He's saying that's only where there's a machlokas.
It's only where one of them isn't clearly wrong, right? You can't do that about pig, right? He's saying he's very careful, right? He's like, if there's something which is not clear in either direction, and the poskim are of equal stature, right? So then yes, right? Meaning not machlokas for much as it's not 100%, right? If it's 100%, it's pig, right? No one can say pig is mutter, right? But if there's a machlokas, right, there isn't a clear answer. So then he says, yeah, right. Anytime there's a machlokas, there's a safek, right, something like that, a safek bidin, right, meaning halachic question at play, right. That's what psak is. Psak is creating reality.
But it's not so. It's not so radical, and it's not just on in the world of ideas, because that's how Tarovus works. That you have a mixture, whether it's, you know, lachar, yavesh, you determine, before you determine whether it's either a rov or it's a shishin, so you have a certain percentage of treif and a certain percentage of kosher. Once you determine the percentage, then kula hofech leheter.
Oh, correct. We have other things in halacha that are like this, where halacha magic things into.
Yeah, it's a chefza.
Correct. No, there are definitely cases where that halacha does this, right? The fact that psak is this, right? You're right. Bittel, rove, and things like that are also magical like this. Right, the Ritva things that all psak is like this. Now, I would add a third.
It's easier to understand if you're talking about the world of ideas and not the world of concrete realities. How does a treif chicken in a box of kosher chickens all of a sudden become
correct? Better? I mean, bittel is even more fascinating. Correct, and this is why. Well, yeah, and that's why Rabbi Yosef Engel, right? You know, who's normally pretty just lumdus on bittel of all things, right? Explains Bittel with Kabbalah, right? Because he's so confused by the whole thing, right? So he's like, it must be that God built in Bittel because sometimes there are nitzotzot in this world hidden in non-kosher animals that God wants to redeem. So he created Bittel so that you could mix it up and then redeem it by eating it. Like it's a whole. But you're right.
Does that too.
What?
The price has some.
Oh, yeah.
Explains a bit like. Did you see that part?
I had not.
Talks about Bittel about.
Is it in the part you gave me? I'm in overload. Like.
So you can briskify this too and say that on the object that they're poskining about, there's a machlokas, and you go by what the Rav says. But once you have the precedent and you want to apply it to something else. So after that, it's a whole different ballpark.
Correct, right? It's the first, right? It's that first, moment. Now the Ritva, I'll just throw this out there. The third Ritva that's relevant that I haven't seen really anyone connect, but it clearly is important for the Ritva, is that the Ritva is also unique in the Rishonim to claim that Lotasur, right, doesn't only apply to the Sanhedrin. Or even to the Gadol Hador, or the leaders of the generation, he's the only person who says that Lotasra applies to your shul rabbi, right? To your Maradasra, right? Which I think is part of the Ritva's general thesis, right? Is that, right, your rabbi, Lotasra applies to your rabbi, and that's why he is comfortable sort of giving, right? Because one thing, you could say this about the Sanhedrin, right? Like the Sanhedrin, when they issue the Supreme Court ruling, it changes halachic reality. It's fascinating that you would then apply it to your average, to every shaila you ever ask, right? That they are creating metaphysical realities, but the Ritva himself doesn't shy away from that. The Ritva says that explicitly in Shabbos Kof Lamed.
But that's shocking in our world, but in the Chazon Ish's world,
it's not. And they still don't quote this Ritva. It's funny. I don't know. Anyways,
this explains to the milkman. You're right.
You're right. Then you're right. Yeah. No, kind of. You're also right. Okay. But anyway, so that was again a topic which comes up here, but it's not the main topic. The main topic is obviously Bechor. Lahalacha, I think most posts can say you can paskin on Shabbos Yom Tov for one reason or another. But this is just to explain the positions that exist.
What happens today with the Bechor animal?
My mother's father had that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. My father was a storekeeper. I mean, they had land around the store with flower garden and everything, but he wasn't a farmer. And it was a long time before the calf got a mum, destroyed their trees, destroyed their
flowers. So
yeah, yeah. He
so yeah, I mean, most cases, what we do is that when an animal is about to be born on the Bechor, we sell it to a guy. That's what we do to avoid all problems.
So it wasn't his cow. It was given to him by one of the other villagers who wanted to get back.
Isn't that a big problem on big farms?
Yeah, but that's what we do. We come up with all types of. I think that's what we do in most cases. I assume there must be cases where a Bechor is accidentally born. Then we got to deal with it. But usually we just avoid it.
Even if it's a shatuf, meshutaf,
and they. Anyway, we don't sell totally. We make a meshutaf, and then one says shutfas a guy. Yeah, we make him a partner. Yeah.